Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This
is an Entel Studios production.
We are recording. Yay. Hello.
I mean, we've started recording very late.
Yeah, so it is 10:05 on Monday night.
Oh my God, we've got so much to do still tonight.
I know, I've got a good hour or two's worth of work to do. But we're busy for the next few days, so if we can just get everything done today...
Yes.
The next few days will be easier, so easy.
Yes, and we've got good things to recommend.
Yeah, we've got great things to recommend. I was reprimanded by our producer for not speaking into the microphone as good as you.
Oh, we want to hear you.
So this sounds good. My headphones, I'm going to give you the headphones, you can have a listen. Listen to this.
Are you going to blow my mind with my tones?
How does that sound? Pretty good?
I mean, I've always said you should be on... the radio.
I've got a face for radio, right?
No, but your voice is amazing.
It's very Partridge-esque, I think.
No, it's not. It's just really... Do you know what? Now mm-hmm. I can understand why people just get really annoyed about us eating. You just opened your mouth and I heard you lick your lips. It's amazing, the sound on this.
It is good, isn't it?
Now you're going to drink just to wind us up, right? I can hear the ice... I can hear you gulping.
I've pimped this drink. Try that.
Is it a St. Clement's?
Try it, see what you think.
It's Robinson's orange barley water.
Yeah.
With water.
Yes, it's a cordial, so water in there.
It's quite weak with a squeeze of lemon.
A squeeze of lemon, a squeeze of fresh orange.
Excuse me.
It's pimped. You nailed it.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Your taste buds are on fire, on point.
I have very good taste.
Tasticality.
I would like to say, you can have these headphones back even though I am really enjoying it.
Okay.
I would like to say that this is Making the Cut podcast, basically with a trip advisor for your life. We tell you the things that you don't even know you want. we are telling you what you need.
What you want, yeah.
Before you even know that you need it. And our listeners are an extremely important part of our show because when we're scrabbling around, we've got no idea what to recommend. They come up with the best ideas. They're so good.
Yeah.
So we love our listeners. Anything that you like, see, smell, hear, read, eat, please tell us about it if it's amazing. We do not diss anything. So we only have something on. I watched something this week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's up to scratch.
Yes.
I am not going to talk about it.
Okay, this is the thing we watched, right? Yes. I'm going to watch the last two with you.
I don't... My feeling is we're not going to recommend it. So we're not going to name it.
Okay.
Because it's not nice to do that.
No, you're right.
And we are not those people.
No.
So, let us begin.
Can I just say, first of all, Susie Smith has contacted us and it says, I'm sure you've checked that condone is not the word you wanted to use. Remember last week?
I knew that was the wrong word.
Yeah. It's funny though, isn't it?
How your brain... What's the opposite of condoning?
Well, to not condone. I don't condone it. You would say, I don't condone that.
Oh.
And we were saying, but condoning sounds like... No.
Yeah. But condoning is agreeing.
It's accepting it.
What were we saying that to?
I can't remember.
I think it was something quite bad.
It was bad, yeah.
So we said we agreed with something.
I think it was racism in football. I think we went, we condone that. No, we do not condone it.
We do not condone that.
But there's something else that's been slightly niggling me as well. I said something kind of positive about Colonel Gaddafi about 2 weeks ago. And I go to bed at night and think, do people think that I was saying, Gaddafi was all right, you know. And it was just in case anyone was wondering how my stance on Gaddafi was that he was absolutely horrible and an awful person. It is just weird how Libya improved, you know, around that time. Yeah,
backpedal.
But I just wanted to clarify my position on Gaddafi. Do you find that, though, where you say things and you...
Yes.
And then for like 3 weeks later, they're still niggling me. Like, there was something else I said a couple of weeks ago as well,
Michael, always say this to me, which I think is an amazing quote for life, and that is never ignore a niggle.
Yes.
And you, I think that is so true that if something is slightly bothering you, then you got to do something
about
it. Don't ignore it, because the niggle will never go away.
Do you know who taught me never ignore a niggle?
Who?
Andy.
Andy.
So me and Andy used to make TV programs a long time ago, and if we were filming something that he felt or I felt wasn't quite right, he'd say, it's niggling me now, let's redo it. And he used to say, never ignore a niggle. If it's not right, let's redo
it. He's absolutely right.
So Gaddafi was niggling me.
Yeah, good.
Just wanted to clear my position there, because I'm still watching that How to Become a Tyrant thing, and the Colonel Gaddafi one I've just watched, and I thought, yeah, I just have to make sure people know my stance here.
What I like is that you it niggled you, but we've all forgotten.
Yeah, but absolutely. I'm
actually,
sure
there might be one listener who's
I'm not sure about that guy,
Michael.
What's he thinking?
And in a couple of years' time, you too will become a tyrant. And you'll be running the country and they'll all be going, God, I think we were on listening to that podcast when he started
the big
becoming
worry is,
tyrannical.
If I find myself in some kind of controversy with the newspapers or something in the future, they'll go back through these podcasts and they'll quote me as saying, oh, Gaddafi was all right, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I think, no, context,
just said
context.
It again.
Yes.
They could edit that.
Yeah, if anyone's listening who works for the Daily Mail, please apply context to
context is everything.
Is everything. Yeah, and
as we always say.
Yeah, well, there's a great Tim Minchin song called
We've
done this. Yeah, but just in case, we might have new listeners that have not listened to the back catalogue.
Sorry, I'm rustling because while he's talking, I'm getting out food.
Thanks, Susie Smith, for just bringing up the condom
thing. Thank you, Susie. We are pants, and without our listeners correcting our horrific grammatical errors,
we are nothing.
We are nothing. So, I want you to eat something.
Yeah, great. I love it.
And this is going to be a quickie. But I couldn't believe you hadn't had Peter's Yard sourdough crisp bread.
No, I haven't. But now, I'm very much looking forward to... I love sourdough anything.
That was the snap of the sourdough crisp bread, which I did right into the microphone. Mm-hmm. That's for you.
Okay.
So, Peter's Yard is a really, really nice company. All they do is make sourdough crisp breads, but they make all shapes and sizes. So you can get kind of pink peppercorn. You can get caraway sourdough crackers, rye and charcoal sourdough, fig and spelt sourdough, which is amazing with cheese.
Great.
So I just cracked these out for you to actually try the thing that I was actually going to talk about. But these, quickly, the crackers, £2.95 for a box. But sourdough crackers are gorgeous. They are a super, super nice company. He's kind of a bit... He's Swedish, I think. Peter is Swedish. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of gone into business with Peter and Ian and Wendy to do a kind of Swedish-inspired bakery in the UK. And that's where they come from. But they're just nuts about sourdough. So dip into, I have brought you today some...
Hummus.
Some hummus, right? But...
This is the smooth hummus you were talking about.
Yes. Now, Harriet, who is my eldest daughter's best friend, who spends a lot of time here, they are inseparable. It's the sweetest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
they are.
Harriet is a vegetarian, and she's introduced us to lots of, you know, really interesting vegetarian food. But this... Hummus is, I normally just get the own brand hummus from wherever I'm shopping. I always think, well, it is what it is. Hummus is what it is. But this Sabra hummus, and it's hummus extra, which makes me laugh because my daughters use the word extra when they're trying to describe somebody.
Yes, I love it.
Who's like, you know,
so extra.
We know people who've got a pond and they dye it blue. That's extra.
Yeah.
Like...
This is called hummus
people
extra.
People who go the extra mile. Anyway, this is like hummus extra.
Mm.
Like this hummus has gone the extra mile. First off, what's the first thing you notice?
It's got pine nuts on the top of it.
Right.
That's extra.
It isn't just hummus. It's got some actual pine nuts on the top, which looks really cool.
And it's got some kind of oil on it as well, which I assume is some kind of olive oil maybe or something like that. I love, what I do with hummus generally is I put it on the plate, right? Mm. Like on a bowl or a plate or something like that. And then I dig a hole into the hummus.
Yeah.
So it's like a volcano. And then I fill that up with olive oil and then balsamic goes into that as well. So it's... And then the bread...
Balsamic?
Yeah, and then the bread goes into the hummus, oil and balsamic in one go. And, oh!
You see, for me, the bread's got butter on it as well.
Yeah.
Because the bread's got butter on it.
The bread's got butter on it as well.
Oh, my God, I love that. Well done.
Okay.
Now, don't eat too closely to the mic.
Okay. People don't like it, do they? It looks very smooth, this hummus.
So, Harriet introduced me to this, and at the beginning I didn't like it because I felt like it was too smooth. But this is amazing. Now, Sabra, I can't see, like, hang on, I'm going to go to the Sabra story because I was a bit lost as to how they started. But it's basically, it's good for people, good for our company, good for the environment. It's just plain good. They're sourcing. The family farmers we proudly entrust to grow our Sabra chickpeas and Sabra's Pearl Centre of Excellence. I'm trying to see where their business is based and I can't see, but I think it's in America. But what's interesting is the packaging on the Sabra website is different and the logo is different from the Sabra that you get
in the UK. Because this looks like
Middle
Eastern.
So this looks Middle Eastern, totally. And I wonder whether... I don't know.
But that's quite normal, I think, for brands to rebrand in different countries to try and appeal to different markets. Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, they make guacamole, they make hummus, all kind of dippy-dippy stuff. Greek olive hummus, classic hummus, and caramelised onion and smoked paprika hummus.
Caramelised onions don't belong in hummus, as far as I'm concerned. But I've bought caramelised onion hummus by mistake once or twice.
And?
I was offended by it.
Oh, really?
I'm not recommending caramelised onion hummus. Just don't think it's a thing. What I've realised is reduced fat hummus seems to be more... So I don't know what they do when you buy reduced fat hummus, but it seems more lemony, like they've got like some citrusy kind of twang in there or something, and that's nice.
To me, reduced fat anything is a crime.
I bought it by mistake, but I did end up liking it. I also like Pizza Express dressing reduced fat. A light one is better, I think, than the actual normal Pizza Express dressing. Anyway, let's just go back to this. You're right, the smooth texture is quite weird to get used to, but it is really nice.
Oh, and
the sourdough crisp bread is a game changer. What I would like is a smither of butter on there as well.
Yes, and I mean, I think it needs some stuff, the stuff going on with it, but it's absolutely delicious. Can't recommend it high enough. Sabra hummus.
And where did you get it from?
Peter's Yard. I got it from Sainsbury's.
Okay. That is very, very nice.
Michael.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for playing with me.
It's a pleasure. I always enjoy the game.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
I like playing with you.
But I do genuinely like that. And
good.
I love these
Harriet will be really pleased. Yeah. She's introduced us to something and it made the cut.
Mm. We have been watching something else, which I'd like to talk to people about.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this has been recommended to us many, many times. Because it came out in January this year. I kept thinking, oh, I'll get round to watching that at some point. There's great actors in it and all the rest of it. So Freddie Fox is in it. Mark Addy's in it, who was most famously in The Full Monty. But the most famous person in it is probably Stephen Graham, who's a brilliant actor. He's been in
lots of
stuff. And he's worked with...
I think it came out last year.
Well, it says January 2020. Sorry, I've lost a year.
Yeah, I mean, we all have.
So it has been recommended a lot. I think it was originally on ITV. It rates 7.4 on IMDb, and it's called White House Farm. So thank you to everybody who recommended, because it's been on our radar for quite a long time.
Absolutely brilliant.
But it's taken a long time to get around to watching it. And I think we were just mooching about looking for something to watch. And you said, let's watch this, I think. And
Holly had said.
Had she?
Yeah.
You think you've watched it before.
I think I have. But can I just say, being menopausal does have its benefits. And one of them is I could literally read a book and 2 years later pick it up and not have any recollection of the storyline whatsoever.
Mm. I wonder whether your brain is just full.
It's definitely full. This is what the doctor called cognitive overload.
Yes.
I have so much information in there.
Mm.
And then, it, you know, combined with if some days I don't have enough estrogen flowing around my body and I get a bit of brain fog, forget it. But this TV show, I thought I had seen it before, but I literally can't remember any of it.
Okay.
So I'm hoping I haven't.
Yes. Well, yeah, it's good that you can't
remember
it.
Either I've been drinking a lot of alcohol and I've been in blackout, which we all know hasn't happened.
So we are currently watching it on Netflix. And the story revolves around a true story of a fateful night in August 1985. Now, I remember this story quite well at the time.
Yes,
but I can't remember
I.
the outcome of the story.
Mm.
1985, when five members of the same family are murdered in an Essex farmhouse and the ensuing police investigation and court case that follows. It's a kind of whodunit of a true story, really. And it seems quite obvious to start with. But obviously, because there's six episodes and, you know, you get the whole scene in episode one of something going wrong, you realise that the story's got to go somewhere. But I'm yet to unpick it. I'm assuming I know what happens, but I'm not entirely sure. But I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Even Stephen Graham's Welsh accent is impressive.
I feel like British drama, when it's really good,
yes,
is hard to beat.
Mm-hmm.
Nordic noir comes very close, but when it's
yes,
when you've got really great British actors all coming together in a drama, I would say the one thing, and I you have almost ruined any kind
hair
of
makeup.
Yes,
right? Yeah, no,
not makeup. I don't go forensic on makeup, okay. But I've really started. If a character slightly jars with me, I immediately think, is it the hair?
Yeah.
And Freddie Fox?
Yes.
So Freddie Fox is a fantastic actor.
Yep.
But he's naturally a blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And he does look like a natural blonde in a dark wig.
Yes.
He doesn't look like he's naturally dark.
I think it's his hair. I think they've coloured it brown.
Oh.
But that's what's jarring with you, because it doesn't suit his complexion.
It doesn't suit his complexion, exactly.
Jeremy Bamber was a brunette.
Dark,
and
yeah.
Then they decided they would make him a brunette. I mean... Sometimes I think they get it wrong. I think you'd better off just keeping him blonde.
Mm.
But it's also a bit like saying, well, Stephen Graham should have just played it as a Scouser and not a Welshman as well. I sometimes feel like, you know, the actor wants to use
his skills.
But isn't
he a good... Is that not a good Welsh accent?
It's a very good Welsh accent, but I think sometimes the problem is I know he's a Scouser doing a Welsh accent because we've seen him as a Scouser in so many things.
Mm.
What is interesting, when I first... The first time I ever saw Robert Carlyle was in The Full Monty. I just assumed he was a Yorkshireman. I had no idea he was a Scottish guy. And then when I saw him in Trainspotting, I was like, God, he's good at that Scottish accent.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a bit like watching The Wire, like McNulty. I just assumed he was American.
Oh, my God.
Idris Elba, I thought he was
I
American.
Met Idris Elba on the carpet, red carpet somewhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, what, you're English? I could not believe it. But I guess I'm not American, so I wouldn't pick up on it. But
yeah.
Renee Zellweger's English accent.
First time I ever saw her.
God,
I thought she's
so
English.
So good.
It's not the actor's fault. I guess it's the viewer's fault for making the assumption that that's where they are. But having said that, Stephen Graham's accent's brilliant. All the acting's brilliant. I think the locations are fantastic and it's really gripping. I mean, I don't think we'll squeeze an episode in tonight because... We've got too much to do. We'll try. Maybe doze off.
Yeah.
I mean, what's good about something that was made on ITV that's on Netflix is you can kind of see where the ad breaks come.
Yeah.
And you can stop there, make a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And snooze.
Snooze.
We could stop and fall asleep, though.
But it's very good. We would massively recommend it. And thank you for recommending it to us, because you and my daughter, Holly... Oh, we're absolutely right. It's a corker.
Yeah.
I am really, really excited to talk about this. I've been meaning to talk about this for weeks. Molly, who is my agent, came to a job the other day and she was wearing what looked like an Apple Watch, but it had like a super, super nice proper watch strap. Now, I have got an Apple Watch, and the reason why I don't wear my Apple Watch is because my Apple Watch looks like a Fitbit watch, and I like a watch to look like a watch.
Oh, really? Is that what you like it to look like?
Am I making any sense at all?
You are, yes.
They look sort of like a...
Like
I mean,
a toy.
I often see people wearing two watches, which seems completely obscene.
I wear two like, from time to time.
You know, you've got the watch on this side because you like your watch and it's like a piece of jewellery, but then on the other side you've also got your watch which doubles up as a Fitbit or whatever.
Yeah.
Or an Apple Watch. And, but it looks too much like one of those kind of gimmicky things.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a company called mywatchstrap.co. All one word, mywatchstrap.co. It sells straps for Apple Watches and Fitbits, and it's got accessories as well that you can get. And basically, the ones that I particularly like are the stainless steel ones. So when you click onto the stainless steel butterfly for an Apple Watch, so say you've got the one that is, it's black, it just looks really,
really nice.
Really nice. The black one with the black face. Mm. And also I really, really love the gold, but they also do a two-tone one. I mean, I love the gold one. It's so nice.
Something bling about gold. Oh, yes. It's very...
Stainless steel gold is particularly nice as well.
So how much is that?
And rose gold, £39.
That's more like it, isn't it? Because, crikey, some of them are expensive from Apple. It's breathtaking.
Oh, it's absolutely obscene.
Yeah.
And let's have a look at some of the other ones. So there's stainless steel loop strap for Apple Watch. It's £29. They're on sale. Normally they're £55. And they've also got a metal steel link one in black. And they've got a very nice closing system on them. So they're very easy to put on and take off. But they just make it look like a proper piece of jewellery as opposed to... And also with... the straps, it means that you can wear them in the shower. You can get kind of, you can take your, can't you, in
I
the
think
shower?
The it's new like, ones are water resistant.
Water resistant, yes. Not proof. So bath, not such a great idea, but...
You can get them wet, essentially,
yeah.
Yes.
And the Fitbit...
Whoa, I do not condone that kind of language on this podcast.
I didn't mean to talk about myself, sorry. the Fitbit is a stainless steel loop, which comes in all different sorts of colours. And again, it just looks really nice.
So you get a strap for your Fitbit?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not just an Apple Watch strap.
No, no, no.
It's like all different...
Yeah.
Oh, wow, great.
It's like they're taking any kind of fitness gear.
Yes, and giving you a strap.
Giving you a strap that you can put on it, which I really like. And also they sell accessories. Mm-hmm. So they sell a link remover tool. Which is really
handy.
Useful because if you've got any kind of watch, that's really handy, isn't it? They've got a wireless charging station. They sell screen protectors.
Nice.
They've got an AirPods Pro protective case. And I mean, we're talking £9.99. They've got warranties. They've got, I mean, it's just a really, really good company. It's all very affordable and it makes your watch look much nicer.
Very good. Give us the name again of the website.
It is called mywatchstrap.co.
.co is really taking off, isn't it? Obviously, .com.
Is it a thing?
I think it's become more acceptable. If you can't get the .com, you used to get the .co.uk. But if you need an international website, people have now adopted .co. .tv was around for a while. You had
I liked .tv.
Yeah, if you're in TV, it seems like a good one to have. I think I had mdlondon.tv for a while. Mm. I did get michaeldouglas.london. They gave out these... You could go into a lottery for a .london address.
Yes.
And I went into a lottery and won michaeldouglas.london. But it often goes into people's spam. So an email I had for a long time was michael@michaeldouglas.london, which is quite good, right?
That's so nice.
But everyone kept saying, your email's gone into my spam, because computers didn't like .london.
So that is an actual address, .co. I thought that was like some weird...
.co.
Oh, wow.
And there's lots of them.
I'm so behind the curve.
Well, not necessarily, you know.
Anyway,
very
that is
good.
Great.
I like that.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So, as you know, my dad came over to visit us this week, and he likes wine, my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a bottle of wine on the kitchen worktop that mm-hmm. someone had brought round as a gift here, I think. They brought mm-hmm. some wine round and left it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love a Bourgogne. A Bourgogne and a Pinot Noir are my two favourite wines. So
A Bourgogne.
I like it. So anyway, my dad's like, oh, it's a nice bottle of wine there. I was like, is it? He said, yeah. And then he came and showed me how he knew it was a nice bottle of wine because he has this app on his phone called...
I've downloaded it.
Me too. It's called...
Have you?
Vivino.
Yeah, I was going to talk about it.
Were you?
Yeah.
Well, we can both talk about
it. It's really amazing, right? But, and especially for a complete novice like me.
Yes.
So if I go to a supermarket, which I do a lot because I'm the one that does the shopping,
mm-hmm.
but I end up, people go, get me some beer, get me some wine, get me some booze. I know absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing there for hours just going, well, I'll get the one for sort of this price bracket.
Yes, you're judging it on price, but on nothing else,
right? And that's not
right. Yes.
Because often you can get an absolute blinder of a bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm.
At a really, really good price, but I wouldn't know which one.
But a couple of years ago, we went for dinner somewhere and someone brought three bottles of this red wine. Wow, I was just blown away by how good it was.
Mm.
But I didn't take a picture of it or anything like that. I have no idea. I'll never find it again. Mm. So this is an app, whereas if you see a bottle of wine, you open the Vivino app and you press the camera button and you can take a picture of the wine itself. And then once you've taken a picture of the wine label, that's all you need. And you get a clear picture of it, it scans that label and it tells you exactly what it is you're looking at. God, your camera lens is very greasy, isn't it? What's been going on there? Crikey. You need to cover it in lip salve.
Some tan lotion.
Yeah. So it's pretty brilliant, this app. So this is a McGuigan Estate Shiraz. It's had 57 ratings from various users of the app. It's got a 4 out of 5 stars. It tells you that it is...
so good.
I mean, the rough price of it is £10. £10.43 is the average price. It tells you that it's among the 8% of all the wines in the world. This is in the top 8% of all wines in the world. So that's quite interesting. And then it tells you that it's very bold. It's got references to smooth... dry, sweet, soft, acidic, 120 mentions of blackberry, plum and black fruit from various people who've reviewed it, pepper, eucalyptus and cinnamon. So it's just really, really good. It says a solid 3.9, great value bottle of wine. And then there's lots of people who've reviewed it. What's interesting about the app is that if you've drank a bottle of wine that you like, you basically say, I liked this bottle of wine. Mm. And the app develops a kind of knowledge of your taste of the things you've liked and the things you've not liked, and then starts to recommend you wines that it thinks you would like.
Oh my God.
So that Bourgogne, for instance, I would say I'd like that, so I'd like that. I don't like that Shiraz very much, which is why I've not drunk it. And then there's a few others. So eventually it starts to learn the kind of things you would like. But you can also
ask you something about wine.
Mm-hmm.
Is it true that if there's a bottle of wine and it's got a cork in it, it's nicer than the bottle of wine with a screw cap?
No, there's absolutely nothing to do with it.
Why doesn't all wine have a screw cap then? Because that's so much easier.
Most of it does these days. Tesco's, from what I remember...
Tesco.
From what I remember reading, was the first supermarket to say that they were only going to stock wine with screw tops.
Really?
Yeah. Now, whether they stock now corked wines and screw tops, or whether I read that wrong or not, I don't know. But I remember once they'd adopted it, a big, big player like that, buying huge amounts of wine, then it really made a big shift in the industry. But there was no real benefit to having a cork or not having a cork. It's quite authentic having a cork.
I mean, it does feel... It feels nice. And to me, it feels like it is going to be a better wine, even though it might not be.
I think there's a ritual about wine as well, is that you cork... You pull out the cork, it's got that sound, you let it breathe for a while, and you know, you pour a little bit or you decant it. There's something nice about the ritual.
And traditional, and it feels old-fashioned. Mm-hmm. And somehow we've come to believe that old wine is better. And
yes,
it feels from sort of an olden age, whereas a screw top feels modern and new wine isn't as good type of thing.
I guess the idea is that one particular year will produce a very nice grape.
Yes.
So that year is considered great. And if the wine is stored carefully, then that kept wine is always going to be great. You know it's going to be great. I don't think it necessarily gets better with age, as far as I'm aware. But it's just that you knew that that year was a brilliant year.
Lots of people really invest in wine, don't they?
Oh, yes. I've got a friend of mine is a wine dealer, like to the royal family and all sorts of stuff. You know, that's his job. And I rang him one day and I said, OK, so if I put 10 grand into wine, what would I get? And he said, it depends what you bought and it depends how long you want to keep hold of it for. But he did say, China have gone crazy for beef, basically. So there's this huge influx of them cattle farming out in China to produce, you know, more and more beef. But with that beef, they want more and more wine.
Red wine.
They really want a lot of red wine. So he said, if you buy 10 grand worth of wine, store it here and take it to China in 10 years' time, you probably make a lot of money, you know. So it is an interesting investment, but it's only like classic cars or Bitcoin or whatever. You know, it can go up and go down.
Tell everybody how
The Bitcoin.
How's it doing today?
Should we have a quick look at the old Binance app?
So Michael put £5,000into Bitcoin or different various types of Bitcoin. He's pulled a face. It's not good news, people.
So my £5,000 went up to about £8,000, but I bottled it and decided not to sell it. I thought, wait till it gets to 8 or 9. Then it plummeted, and then it really plummeted. It's now worth £653, that £5,000. But it has been as low as £300, and
you're
this week...
always so positive.
Yeah, I know. I'm an optimistic kind of guy, right? So it went as low as £300, but this week it went up to £1,200. So it went from £300 to £1,200, which is an increase of about 300%, 200%?
More than that. Yeah.
So had I took another £5,000 and bought in at the £300 and it went to £1,200, I would have tripled my money. Mm. So I would have won back what I lost. That's the gambling aspect to it. I am not a gambler. I am just going to sit on this money and see what happens. I've invested in a coin called Superfarm, and it is, you know, I'm slightly wishing I hadn't, but... it's nothing super about this farm, that's for sure. It's like Clarkson's farm. It's not making any money.
We had really high hopes, didn't we?
Yes, I still think it'll make a good recovery, but it might require me to... Because what it could do is get to 1,200. I could take the money out at 1,200, wait till it drops to 300, put it all back in, and then just keep playing the system as it goes up and down.
But you don't.
But I've not done that yet. But
I mean, that's more for people who, like, are making a living
out of it. And there is a lot of people doing that.
I'm so excited about the next thing I'm talking to you about.
Well, good, because I want to hear it. I can see the excitement oozing out.
I don't know who
you.
Sent me this.
No? No, this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, it's funny. You just get stuff, don't you, that turns up.
Stuff just turns up. Mm. But this is really good stuff.
Okay, hit me with it.
So this is a company called Neat. You know, last week we were talking about companies that just make up a name.
Yeah.
This one is just called Neat. And I really appreciate that. N, and it's even spelt the same way.
Mm-hmm.
N-E-A-T.
Okay.
How nice is that?
It's very good. I can't believe you could trademark that, but they must have done.
And the .com is neatclean.com.
Wow.
How did they get that?
Congratulations to them.
So, this is what's really interesting. Mm-hmm. They say some very clear and concise things on their opening page, which really made me think. Did you know most cleaning products are 90% water? If I cannot do great things, this is in quote marks, the if I cannot do. So in quote marks, if I cannot do great things, I can do small things in a great way.
Nice.
Martin Luther King Jr. So that's a whole lot of unnecessary water being shipped around the world and mostly in single-use packaging.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't thought about that either. Mm-hmm. All of that water just being shunted around the world in single-use packaging. And we believe that people and the planet deserve better. We're here to help protect our planet by creating simple and beautiful solutions that inspire everyone to make sustainable choices. We make lovely cleaning products that perform brilliantly and cut down on waste. No single-use plastic, no need to ship water around the world. It must be as good, if not better, than what already exists. Our products are our story. They work, they excite, they're simple, they're accessible. Our values, simple, real, bold, positive. This is how we want to act. So, 1 year's conventional cleaning, you know, you could be using, just in washing up liquid mm-hmm. alone, maybe 12 washing up bottles a year, maybe less, depending on how big your family is. But in 1 year's neat cleaning, you still have your one aluminium bottle. So they give you an aluminium bottle, mm-hmm. which I've got in the kitchen. Do you want to see it?
I saw it earlier, so that's all right. We'll take a picture of it.
You get your aluminium bottle, and it's got a little dotted line at the top of the bottle, mm-hmm. and you fill it up to that line, which is 470 mil of tap water.
Oh, okay.
Then you pour in the refill.
Is this cleaning cordial?
It's cleaning cordial.
Yeah, okay. How interesting.
That is such a great uh-huh. name for it. You put the nozzle in,
yep.
you give it a good shake, and then you're good to go. I've been using it all day.
Mm-hmm.
They sent me an anti-back multi-surface cleaner, a window cleaner. It's really, really good stuff.
So these little bottles are the concentrate of cleaning fluid.
Yes.
So you fill up to the water with a level and then tip that in.
Yes.
Mix it gently, presumably, and then spray it around.
Yes. And I've been cleaning the agar with it.
Yes.
And that agar takes a battering.
Yeah.
And is also very, very hot.
Mm-hmm.
And quite, you know, you've got to kind of use something really good on there. And it's spotless. The agar's spotless.
Wow.
There's a lot of different kind of environmentally friendly
mm-hmm.
products out there. But all of them all of them that I've found use single-use plastic.
This aluminium bottle or something like that is really good. Yeah.
Also, they mm-hmm. have a little, you know, because the aluminium, if you were to put it down constantly on a kitchen work surface or whatever, mm-hmm. it makes a loud bang. The noise is quite aggressive. What they've done is they've put a little rubber band of sort of like a thin strip of rubber around the bottle, which is color-coded. So it means that if you can't read the label on the bottle, you know that the purple one's your glass.
Oh, okay, yes.
And your pink one's the, you know, anti-back or this. So it's color-coded, so you can just quickly reach for something very easily. It also means that when you put it down, it doesn't make a noise. Mm-hmm. on your kitchen counter.
Yeah.
It's very nice to touch and feel. And obviously, aluminium is recyclable.
It feels like they've adopted some of the beauty industry and put it into the cleaning industry.
Yes.
Yeah. I've talked about this before, how, like, bottles of bleach are very ugly-looking things.
Yes.
Yet, you know, you've got to keep them in your bathroom or somewhere close to the bathroom.
Mm.
So they're often out around the bathroom. And I always think, why don't they make them look nice, like beauty products or something like that. I realise that you might put bleach on your face if that's the case.
I mean, you're absolutely right. Idea. And I think when you look at this product,
looks nice,
it's a
actually.
Really
it's cool.
good looking product. Yeah. It's really cool and it looks kind of great in your cupboard. And just to give you an idea on price, so the Essentials Bundle, which is basically what I got sent, in fact, I got sent four, but the Essentials Bundle, £22.
Oh, wow.
The Custom Starter Pack Bundle, you can choose any three, mm-hmm. £22. And a refill sampler bundle is £21. And you can choose any 10 refills mm-hmm. for £21.
And you all buy from the website?
Yeah, them from the website. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure they'll be everywhere very soon. But they've got multi-surface, they've got bathroom, they've got glass and mirror, multi-surface. The grapefruit is off the charts amazing. Mm-hmm. And they've got mango and fig, seagrass and lotus. I mean, the smells are absolutely delicious. And very simple to use, very simple to navigate. I would highly, highly recommend them. Good for the environment and sustainable.
I'm going to try the old... You've got the glass and mirror cleaner there. I love cleaning glass.
I know. Mirrors. Can I just say something? I did take a photograph of you cleaning windows the other day. Because I found it really attractive.
Did you?
And I thought, I'm just going to take a picture of that and keep it. Well, because there was something lovely. There was something so lovely about it that you took such great care and attention that you didn't just sort of spray, you know, the glass and then sort of squeegee it off. You squeegeed and then you had a cloth in your back pocket that you then got rid of all the drips.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was beautiful.
You know where that comes from?
No.
Cleaning mirrors in hair salons for all my life.
Oh, for all my working God, life. Oh, my God, I didn't think about that.
People... They don't want to stand in front of a dirty mirror, right? It wants to be spotless, the mirror. So the first thing you learn really as a hairdresser is how to clean a mirror and get it really, really clean. So
I love this podcast so much. Yeah. I would not have known that. Even when you were doing it and you saw me take the picture, we didn't have this chat.
Yeah, that's funny, isn't it? So I do love getting glass and mirrors really clean. So I have a technique, which is a kind of windoline, first of all, or some kind of cleaning thing, which would be this. So I'm going to give this a try. Then I like to smear that everywhere with some kind of wet cloth that's doused in windoline, really, so you can get all the dead flies off it and stuff like that. Or neat, yeah. Then you squeegee, then a dry, lint-free cloth. And you need two or three of these as you go along, because the wetter they get, the worse they become. But as they're dry, they get rid of the smears. And you only have two or three smears from the squeegee, you only get from the edge of the squeegee. Then you get a really clean finish on it. But yes, I'm going to try this out, and because I've got a lot to compare it to.
It's like a Diet Coke break for me. So if you could let me know when you're going to do it, I'll come and watch.
I'll do it topless.
Oh God!
In some kind of vest.
Yeah.
And a girdle underneath the vest. Perhaps no, just a topless. Spring in. Very good. Well, my favourite cleaning products is Viacal. Viacal is the greatest bathroom
cleaner. To me, it feels like...
toxic waste.
The most toxic.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. It does not muck about, right? You spray that on the chrome, give it 3 minutes.
Is it called Viacal?
No, I think it's Cal. It's K-A-L, I'm sure it is at the end. You can have a look.
Okay, we're going to Google that.
But blimey, if you want clean chrome taps, that's the trick. But if you leave it on like an hour too long...
They've
melted. You've probably no taps left yet. And you have to wear gloves if you're using it, but... I mean, I want stuff to work, you know what I mean? Like,
you're absolutely right.
You said I was going to get rid of lime scale and soap scum. Then let's see it do that.
You're right. It's K-A-L.
Is it? Yeah.
You're amazing.
Well, I'm not sure about that. Now, because we're recording in a new way, I have no way of knowing how long we've been recording now, because the time code is in beats per minute rather than... like actual time.
Well, I would say we could definitely talk about some shout outs and
we could
wrap up.
Well, I'll tell you, one other thing is that my son's at film school, as you know, and he's got access to lots of film scripts, original film scripts. So they're so original, the film scripts, they might be the first draft.
Yeah.
And as you know, films get rewritten many, many times.
I didn't know.
There was an amazing statistic that for every film you watch on the cinema, it's been rejected at least 9 times before it got commissioned, at least. And it would have gone through at least 10 rewrites at that point as well, and possibly have had 5 to 7 different writers make it. So whoever wrote it originally is rarely the person you see on screen where it says written by. The story has come way before that and ended up somebody else that's been rewritten and turned into something else.
I would be so sad.
It's amazing that, isn't it?
If that was my film that had been...
Yeah. One of the other fantastic things I learned about the movie industry is that if you're making a film, let's say you'd written a film and you were producing it and making it, it's highly likely that somewhere else in the world your film is being made as well, because somebody else has had the same idea and is making the same film. And what the movie studios do is they buy up all those other films and shelve them so nobody gets to see them, and they put out the one film they think will get the biggest audience. So I know 2 movie writers who've made films that got made edited, finished, and shelved. No one's ever seen them. It's heartbreaking, that, isn't it?
Oh, God. I know. That's so bad.
But you remember what happened to Tim Minchin in that film? You know, yeah. He just got written off as a tax write-off. It's a crazy thing. Anyway, to get back to the story was that my son brought home the script for the original script for Minority Report, which was written as a short story originally. It was written as then to be made into a short film, a 15-minute film. And then, for whatever reason, Spielberg decided he wanted to turn it into a proper movie, and he made it. And, of course, anyone might know it. It stars Tom Cruise. It's a fantastic cast in it. And Samantha Morton, I think, is in there as well. And it's a really good story. And I think it's also very relevant because people are essentially being arrested and put in prison for crimes they're likely to commit, that they're gonna commit, essentially. So, you know, there's all this thing going on at the moment with unconscious bias, you know, the idea that you're a problem to society without realizing it, you know, and people are being kind of penalized for their unconscious thoughts. So they're being kind of penalized in some way for thoughts that they're not even aware that they're having.
What do you mean?
Well, your unconscious is something you've no control over.
No, I know,
over.
But right. How are we being punished for thoughts that we're not having?
When I say you're being punished is that people are being forced to take courses and training and things like that in their place of work on unconscious bias. And university students are being put through these mandatory courses. As Sonny went through one at film school recently on unconscious bias. But I don't necessarily understand what you're supposed to do about thoughts that you don't know that you're having. You know, you can't do anything about them. The whole thing seems rather odd.
Oh, yeah, God, that is true.
Yeah, how are you supposed to do something about a thought you don't know you're going to have or that you might have?
Or you haven't had yet.
Yeah. So Minority Report taps into that idea that people are being arrested and put in prison for murders that they haven't committed.
Mm.
But the Minority Report machine predicts that you will commit the murder, and that's enough, you know. But of course, the Minority Report in the film is a report that's got a glitch in the system, you know. Anyway, if anyone's not seen it, it's a really good film. Also, it's worth having a look on the YouTubes for the making of the film, because it was made in, I think, 2002, and they did an enormous amount of research into what the future might be like, because the film's set in 2054. And there's lots of stuff in the film, like the way you move. You know, like the way we use an iPad and we just use our fingers to swipe across things. This is all stuff that's in Minority Report because they knew that technology was around, but it wasn't available at the time.
Wow.
Targeted advertising is in there as well that wasn't available at the time. They knew was coming. So there's a bit where Tom Cruise, I think he's called, I can't remember what he's called, but he's walking through a shopping centre and there's targeted adverts just for him as he's walking through the shopping centre. And of course, that's all happening as well. So there's lots of brilliant little things in there. They were so well researched about what the future might look like. So I really enjoyed watching it. Me and Sonny read the script and then sat through the movie, and it was brilliant. It's amazing how much of the script had changed by the time it got to the movie. But that film's available on Netflix, so it's easy to watch. It's over 2 hours, but it rates really well on IMDb. I think it's about 8.1 or something like that. But I right enjoyed it. And it was,
I loved it when it came out.
Yeah. And it's the film where Tom Cruise looks most like Tom Cruise. You know, like now he looks like he's had a bit of work and he's obviously a bit old and he dyes his hair and stuff like that. I still think he looks fantastic, by the way.
He looks amazing. Yeah.
But it's the last film I remember thinking, oh, that's the young Tom Cruise, you know. I can't wait for the new Mission Impossible film, by the way.
Me too.
So let's do a few shout-outs. Let's see what's going on. I mean, our podcast only came out on Friday and it's only Monday.
Yeah, so
There's limited people of... So Katie Foster sent us a picture of, you know, I reviewed Krosta and Mollica. She sent us a picture of their breadsticks. So maybe
Before you go any further, I'm going to get you to put the iPad here because you're not, that it's directional and we lose you when you look over it.
Oh, okay.
That's how's better.
So it says, oh my God, heard you talking about Krosta and Mollica today. Have you tried their breadsticks? Absolute favourites. You can also pick them up at Costco's. Yeah, so she did send us a picture, but you know what happens in Instagram?
Yes,
the picture disappeared.
It disappears.
So I saved the picture. I was a very good boy.
Well done.
If only I knew how to find. There.
Ooh!
Yeah, Rosemary Linguetta.
Flat.
flatbreads.
Breads.
So that looks good, doesn't
Excuse it? Excuse me, do you know what would be good on that?
Uh-huh.
The hummus.
Oh, yeah. So this is a message from Susie Smith, actually, and I was reading out something from... this is two people that have sent us this, then. That's quite... That's Katie Foster I was reading out from. Yeah, they're great.
And they do pizzas.
Yeah, well, you remember I said they did the pizza base?
Base.
That was our recommended. But
they actually do pizza.
Pancetta, mushroom...
Stop it.
I really like this brand. And Katie Foster also sent us that picture, which I reposted, which is... she's.
Thanks, Katie. She loves a bit of bamboo.
The bamboo. Let's have a look. Yes, this is McMahon, Lindsay McMahon. We have talked about her name before. She
yeah.
said, I thought life would be easier as McMahon, but we're making her doubt this. No, you stick with it, Lindsay McMahon. Thanks
her
so
maiden
much.
Name was Boar.
Oh, my maiden name was Boar.
That's quite funny. Like, she's definitely better off with McMahon.
No question.
I knew it was McMahon.
She says, thanks for the shout-out about the stretcher run. The stretcher run
yes.
sounded great. Well done.
Really amazing. Well done.
Joe Osborne sent us a picture of the Kentucky Fried Chicken yes. Walker's Max. I've got these back
Where?
In St Albans.
You've got to bring them down here. I need to try one.
She said they're home bargains this evening.
Oh, wow.
Couldn't not really. They are yummy.
I've yeah. really got to try that.
And Helen Lacey sent this picture. Now, it's yeah. from an Instagram account, but it hasn't got the Instagram account on it. It's been cropped off it. But it's a loyal customer
oh.
and his barber over the years.
Oh, so, Michael, this is so heartwarming.
It's brilliant, isn't it? So this is a guy who goes to get his hair cut at the barbershop and takes a picture of himself getting his hair cut. And
looks
what,
like every 5 years or so?
Well, that looks like the 60s
Maybe
to
10
me.
Year, every 10 years?
It could be 70s, 80s,
it is
90s,
yeah.
You know, every 10
I think
years
you're
or
right.
something like that. But it's really, really good. So Helen A. Lacey sent us that and she said, saw this and thought of you, isn't it great?
Oh, that's
it is really
so nice.
Great.
Because you do develop relationships with your hairdressers and you don't, well, like literally, but you don't feel... I just suddenly realised what I said. Yeah. But you are
yes.
literally faithful.
Mm.
I mean, I am like an extremely loyal
yes,
you, person. Yeah, yeah. And when I, you know, get someone that I love using in anything, I'll go like, right, okay, and we stick together for
years
and decades and decades.
Yeah.
So you and Cheryl, you know, it's
yes.
20 years. It's just... crazy.
But I've got clients that I've been doing for nearly 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing,
who is your
it?
Longest standing client? Give them a shout out. They deserve
well,
it.
Well, Anne Mitchell, who's an actress.
Anne Mitchell. I know all about Anne.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I won't say how old she is. She won't thank me for that. But blimey, you know, I've been doing her hair for a very, very long time.
And she's lovely.
Person.
You love her, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, of course.
Because
she's
you
fantastic.
Have amazing chats.
Yeah.
You say what great chats you have.
Alison Meredith says, hi guys, love your podcast, look forward to it on the Friday dog walk. I can listen to the new episodes. Got a recommendation for you, Ragnarok on Netflix.
Oh no, Ragnarok.
Yeah, it's amazing. Two seasons, will hopefully be a third one to be announced soon. We watch it with English subtitles as listening to them speak Norwegian
yes.
is much better. It's one of the best things we've watched for ages. It's a Norwegian fantasy drama based on Norse mythology. 7.5 on IMDb. And then she says, P.S. It's coming home. It's coming home. Enjoy the match.
Aww.
This is from the 11th of July.
Aww.
So Alison Meredith, it didn't come home, sadly. But this is a great recommendation. Thank you very much. I love certain bits of mythology.
And I also love Nordic anything.
Yes, it is good, isn't it?
Nordic anything.
Now, Ragnarok got
Thor,
a Thor,
isn't it?
Feeling. To it, hasn't it? Yes.
Must do,
yeah. I wonder if it's a Marvel thing. Thanks very much indeed, Alison. That's great. We'll look forward to having a little look at that at some point. Oh, and then Adrian Hards. Is that his name? Adrian Hards?
Adrian
yes.
Hards, yeah.
Good
Why
morning.
Why did you sort of go Hards?
Do you know what it was? One thing that's quite funny is that I only read out messages from women. We get so many messages from women. And I was thinking... Adrian, that must be a guy. Oh, God, this is great. Got a bloke. But Adrian could also be a girl's name, right?
So were you looking at, like, whether it was an Adriana Hard?
Yes, I was trying to work out. It was a gender issue I was having problems with there. I wonder what pronoun we should use here.
Adriana Hard.
And, of course, Adrian was the famous lady in Rocky. But Adrian, good morning. Just a quick word to say, if you enjoyed the Sophie documentary, which we did, you should really check out a podcast called West Cork. If you're confused now, just wait till you've listened to it. Keep up the good work, Adrian. That sounds great.
And that must, what, more about Sophie?
Well, it could be, couldn't it? Must it? Be. It implies it is, because I'm sure that was in
more to
West
know.
Cork. Yeah, and somebody said there's another documentary about it on Amazon Prime. It's the same story, but made by a different company. So it could be quite interesting, couldn't it? You know,
gosh.
What's interesting about documentaries, because I guess they start with an agenda and then they try and fulfil the agenda.
But that's the wrong thing about the documentary. This is a problem.
Yes. What you'd like to do
I don't want a documentary to start with an agenda. I just want the documentary to give me the facts.
Yes. But that means it needs to give you a balanced view, right? And then
you
can decide what you like.
Yes.
Or to let the documentary go wherever it goes. You
or
know.
If it, there was that great one. What was the one with the guy in the loo at the end of the interviews?
Oh, wow.
And he went to the loo and he still had his microphone on and
oh my
confessed
God, I don't know
to
this
everything.
One. Oh, God.
Do you remember that?
I do, yeah, but I can't remember what it is.
Oh, it was so good. And you're listening at the end and you think, oh, my God, what did he just say? And all the way through, it had been so brilliantly neutral that you're like, oh, my God, he's just confessed.
We've got to find out what that is.
It.
If anyone can
please,
remember, please
listeners,
send us a message.
Send us a message.
Thanks very much, everybody. We're going to do a couple more of these, and then we're going to take August off, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We are. Can I just quickly say something? Mm-hmm. I've been piling through the Sabra hummus.
Yes, you have, haven't you? Yeah.
And what I didn't realise was that at the bottom there are whole chickpeas.
Oh, is that where all the crunch is then? Give us another crisp bread.
Here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Nice.
Right.
We've got to get more of this.
You've got to get more. But we won't get any of the fancy ones, just the plain old extra hummus. But now we know why it's extra. It's got, like...
It's got extra in it.
Extra stuff in it.
Yeah, very nice.
We love you. Thanks for being in touch. We hope you've enjoyed this week's show. And we will see you next week. See ya.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.